Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Senior Motley Crue fan and authority on the station, Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline. I say that because the Sabres' new goal song is Kickstart My Heart, and I thought of you, Sal. I thought you'd be happy. You love the Crew?
I was there in the building, yeah. I was there in the building, and when it happened, I'm like, oh my God, it's Motley Crue. And one of the first things I thought of was, yeah, a lot of people aren't going to like this. They might be like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, it's not that modern, it's older, but I mean, think about the vibes. Kickstart My Heart. That's what happens when a goal is scored, right? Your heart gets jumping a little bit. Kickstart My Heart. I love it. I think that's exactly right. But man, I love the Crew, man. I saw them at Darien Lake several years ago. I was a Motley Crue fan growing up. I'm still a Motley Crue fan. They're on my playlist or on my workout list, so I love that song.
Yeah, I knew you would. You were at the game last night, which was, we've talked about it quite a bit today. It's Football Friday, but
it
played a reasonably good game. They lost, and you know, people are ready to turn on them quickly and understandably. Like, we all know the context, we all know what's going on here. So hopefully the Bills can make us feel better by Monday. Hopefully the Sabres can make us feel better on Saturday. I mean, that'd be, you know, a nice change.
I mean, but you think about it, like, holy cow, that first period. You have a 5-on-3 you can't convert. You have a penalty shot you can't convert. You actually score a goal that gets disallowed because it's just a little bit of a millisecond too late. How many posts did they hit all night? Unbelievable, it seemed like, right? Or at least just pucks that just should have gone in the net. They didn't. I don't know if it's puck luck or what, but holy cow.
Well, Sal, let's get to the injury report because it might need the entire segment. It's a long one. The Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We saw new people go on to it. It's is it 16 is the number?
5, 6, 7, 8. Yep, that's exactly right. All right. Let's start. I'm even going to talk about the guys who are full participants because they're full participants. So nothing there. At this point, I think it's not trending great for James Cook to play in this game. He's now missed two practices, one officially, which is yesterday's, because remember, when the game on Monday, Wednesday is not an official injury report, on that until Thursday. They won't get everything's pushed up a day. But we were out there on Wednesday and he really didn't practice at all. He would have been a DNP, I'm pretty sure, if they had an official injury report, but he did not practice on Thursday, so he's a DNP. That's a foot/toe injury, and you know, he's working off to the side with trainers. We'll see. I think it's very questionable right now about Khalil Shakir. I do think I'm encouraged, guys, that Khalil Shakir was doing a little bit more yesterday than he was on Wednesday, but he still is a DNP. He was out there getting balls thrown to him from Mike White as he kind of did some stuff around with the trainers, working on, you know, some footwork stuff. Still no Ed Oliver, but no sign of him whatsoever. So I don't think that's trending well for Ed Oliver to be playing in this game. And then you have guys who have been limited, Mac Hollins, Austin Johnson, they're limited, they're practicing, and Taron Johnson, which is a very encouraging sign because A, he's doing more with the arm actually hitting bags, and B, he's out of the red non-contact. I think it's very likely at this point that he's going to play, and then at least they did get Curtis Samuel back yesterday on a limited basis after missing on Wednesday when we were out there to watch.
All right. So it's from the sound of it, Sal, you know, you've got your injuries, Oliver on the defensive side, but, you know, for the most part, that unit's trending healthier, and offensively, it's funny. I mentioned earlier, it's almost like the offense is about to be tested in a way the defense has been tested for really a year and a half. I mean, Sean McDermott's been able to get guys, Bobby Babich, to get guys to plug and play and still kind of maintain their shape or their form. And for the Bills offense, it's been a really healthy unit for the most part. This might be a really big test if they're down multiple pieces.
Yeah, especially I think James Cook, we saw what happened last week without Khalil Shakir. That's an issue in itself, right? Like, how do you figure out But I generally think, okay, you have Josh Allen, and you know you're going to have to come up with some things. Sure enough, it's going to be tough. But I mean, if you take James Cook out of the equation, I think it becomes an even tougher, much tougher dynamic. Now that said, I like a lot of the things that Ty Johnson has done. I like a lot of the things that Ray Davis has done. What does it look like between the two? I'm not sure. Do they roll with Ty Johnson because, hey, big spot, veteran, Monday Night Football, under the lights, playing his former team, you know, kind of give him a little bit more, let Ray Davis kind of get into the game a little bit before you lean on him. Maybe it's more of a share either way. But James Cook just presents a lot of problems to a defense. Those guys can catch the ball, but James Cook can obviously do a lot more in the passing game, and we've seen he's one heck of a running back. So it is, I think, it's very challenging not to have James Cook, but hey, Josh Allen, if you have to flow the offense through them, there's nothing wrong with it. One of the other issues here, obviously, guys, is they're playing a heck of a defense, right? I mean, looking at the numbers today, I mean, the Jets are number one in the league in yards per play allowed. They're number one in the league in yards per pass play allowed. They're ninth in the league in rushing yards per play allowed, which is still top 10, right? So either way you look at it, this is going to be a tough one.
You know, as we're talking about this, like the running back situation, Sal, who is the next man up? Darrington Evans? Because I'm not sure that they trust Ray Davis in pass protection at this point. Ty Johnson outsnapped him by such a big number. Was it last week?
I think Davis, he's kind of been back and forth on this, I saw, because he, as a prospect, I think was a very good pass blocker and started the year that well, but I think it was the Baltimore game. There were like two giant whiffs that got Allen hit hard. So maybe it could have been, right, like a one-week thing where McDermott or the coaching staff just in general says, yeah, you had some problems here, so we're just going to, you know, we're going to take a little off your plate on that front, maybe even for just a week.
Yeah, he was real good early in the season in pass protection. Yeah. First week, he had a couple great blitz pickups, but not necessarily the same. And again, we'll go back to, you know, loud environments, communication, silent cadence, all that plays into a lot of these things, guys. It's not just people talk about lack of motion. It's also just kind of picking up blitzes, understanding, communication. You're doing a lot of nonverbal stuff there. This is a guy that he's played four NFL games now. Five NFL games. Sorry. Five NFL games now. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into there. I do think that, you know, to me, it would be Ty Johnson would be kind of the first guy in, but who knows? At the end of the day, I wouldn't be surprised if they both have the same number of touches. Maybe one of them has a little bit more snap count. That's how it would look. Now, behind them, guys, for a third running back, it's an interesting point. I do think it's interesting that they opened Darrington Evans' window up from designated to return, because you can't just elevate him. You can't just put him on the roster without making a roster move. He's not in the practice squad. He's not injured reserve. If the Bills wanted Darrington Evans to be their third running back in this game because you're missing James Cook, they'd have to make a roster move. Like, they have to activate him and release somebody from the roster to make room for him. So that's kind of throws a little bit of a wrench into this. Otherwise, you can just keep him on IR. He says he has 3 weeks to be ready, and they can elevate Frank Gore from the practice squad, which could be, you know, what might be the easier way to go about this as Darrington Evans continues to practice.
What's the deal with Matt Collins, Sal? Limited with a shoulder injury. Is that something that he already had, or is that one of those we have to see and maybe it happened during practice?
No. I tell you exactly. I'm glad you asked me, because it was nothing that became official during the game. Do you guys remember the play where he caught it crossing? It was like the longest pass play of the game for the Bills, maybe, other than the Keon Coleman touchdown. He caught it, and then he got tackled on the sidelines. You remember that?
Yeah.
When he came up from that tackle, if you watch the video, you see him kind of doing like a windmill with his shoulder, like working something out. I think he landed on his shoulder. So the next couple series, I saw trainers doing some shoulder exercises with him on the sidelines, kind of getting range of motion. But he never left the game, and he was never an official injury. So I'm pretty sure that's where that stems from.
We'll get to who needs to just get results. Brought to you by Dan Cha-Cha, injury attorneys. No worries, just results. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox here. So, I mean, is it a lean, heavy, tight end game? I've seen some numbers that in 12 personnel, the Bills have been relatively effective passing the ball, efficient, good yards per completion. And I wonder if it's going to be a lean into that, given how the passing game looks at receiver.
Yeah, it could. I think the Bills have to figure something out here, right? I mean, we all know that the receivers have, it appears as though they've struggled to get open, get separation. It appears as though, you know, teams are, and I think this is true, that teams, and I've said this, teams are going to continue to press them, and as far as, well, it's not press coverage, but just be man-to-man on them and say, hey, you're not going to be able to beat us, and the Bills have to find solutions. Well, a lot of the ways you do that is you find matchups in the middle of the field then, instead of saying, okay, well, we can't really throw to the outside guys who are being covered up here. We're going to find solutions in the middle of the field, and especially if teams are going to start blitzing you. And then that opens up some of those lanes a little bit maybe. So I think that's where you have to find your matchups. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. And, hey, you can also – look, every team wants to be able to run the ball and control the game, right? I mean, you want to do that, whether it's James Cook or – you know, Ty Johnson or whoever's in the running, if the Bills can control the game, it doesn't mean you have to just pound and pound and pound. You control the game. What does control the game mean? It means, hey, you run the ball and you get 6 yards, you get 5 yards. You make it a much more manageable second down. You're controlling the game. You're not having to kind of, okay, what do we got to do here? We're second and long. We're third and long. Your playbook opens up to you so much, the other team has to kind of be aware of everything. That's controlling the game. It's not necessarily just running the ball all the time. But if they can control the game with the run game, that's what they want to do. And then if you can go to the middle of the field, you can create some matchups, they can do that. It just kind of keeps the defense a little bit more on their heels, because if you can't do that, if you can't throw there, then you're just giving them even more of a reason and a chance to say, guess what, we're just locking you down on the outside and rushing your quarterback, and we're gonna hit your quarterback and speed him up.
Yeah, feels like a game where running the ball and play action might be called for. And as we talk about like the way this game script could go, Sal, like, I am very concerned or interested to see like what they come out looking like offensively. Defensively, am I wrong for being this optimistic? I just don't see how the Jets move the ball against the Bills defense, because really, like, this long injury report, at least for the most important players, as the Bills offense gets banged up here, I mean, you tell me about Taron Johnson, but it feels like the Bills defense is now going to be as healthy in terms of the starters as it's been maybe since the start of the year.
Feels like it, right, Joe? I mean, I'm at this point, I'm saying, to me, it looks likely for Taron Johnson to be back. And Taylor Rapp, think about that in the middle of your defense, right? Now, you are going to be missing Ed Oliver, it appears. He's missed a couple of games here, but Dwayne Carter looked really nice. He's not Ed Oliver, but, you know, at least you have some encouragement from, you know, the rookie and the way he's played here. Matt Bove and I literally like just stopped recording an Always Game Day in Buffalo, and people can check it out. But one thing, you know, Matt said, and I agree with him, he said, I think this is a Breece Hall game. The Jets are going with a new play caller. The Jets basically stripped Nathaniel Hackett of his play calling duties yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was. And Todd Downing's the new play caller. It's kind of weird. Nathaniel Hackett is still the offensive coordinator, but he won't be calling the plays. Someone else will. A lot of times that happens. It's the head coach calling plays. Not the case here. Yeah. It's literally one guy on staff who's an offensive coordinator, another guy on staff who's going to be the play caller. From that standpoint, Joe, I just think you have to be wary of anything. I don't know. I agree with you. Like, when you say, how are they going to move the ball? Like, it appears that way. But what would worry me is the Jets now look and go, look, the Bills are the 32nd ranked, the last ranked team in the league in rushing yards per play. We have not been able to get Breece Hall going in this game. We have a new play caller. All that adds up to, we are going to use the heck out of Breece Hall, and he's going to bust off some big runs like last year. You just have to make sure that that doesn't happen, because I think that the Bills' defensive line can beat the Jets' offensive line and make Aaron Rodgers have to move around back there and get rid of the ball quickly.
Get a call in with Sal as we go to Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Mo.
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. About that, a right tackle may or may not play Monday night. Morgan Moses, I think is his name. He's a really good run blocker. If he plays, he'll give us problems, but what I wanted to talk about was, if you would have asked me before the season started, or even after a three-game win streak, to start the season, I would have been 100% anti-trading for a wide receiver. But last night, I was watching that 49ers Seahawks game. I think it was in the second quarter. There was one specific play where just like, I'm at the point where we need to make a move. We need to make a move in season to save our season, possibly, and even Josh Allen. It was a play, DK Metcalf just trying to fade out. He cleared out a safety and a corner, and I think it was Smith and Jigba. He ran like an out route underneath it, wide open. Geno Smith, easy completion. They moved the ball, like got a first down, whatever. And when I saw that, I'm thinking to myself, who on this team is going to garner double, you know, to be doubled, take the coverage downfield with him, and open things up underneath for Josh Allen? There's nobody. And if we don't have somebody that can garner that type of attention, we are going to struggle offensively the rest of the season, especially against teams that play man coverage predominantly like the Jets do. And going forward, teams will probably try. I just think that I'm at the point where we need to make a move. you know, for our offensive sake.
Thanks, Mo.
Sal, on this idea, I mean, Mo's kind of getting to Davante Adams,
yeah,
as one of the ideas. And yesterday, you sent it to me, the Raiders fullback Marcel Reese
on the K. Adams show.
The Bills. Yeah. And you know, when this first comes up, Sal, I want to ask, like, do you think they could be in it? And here we are, it's a couple weeks into this Davante Adams watch, and more reporting that the Bills are one of the teams still in it. To Sean Reed of the Athletic, so they're one of four teams in it. So how much, I don't know, how serious do you think it is?
Have you guys talked about it today? Did you play it?
A little bit. Like, yeah. We talked a little bit too, like, Sal, like, that I, as much as you hear, you know, there's Marcel Reese and the Bills have inquired and the Bills have monitored, it is maybe more interesting to me that nobody yet has said, like, no, they're not doing this.
Yeah, it's a good point. So people are aware, you know, I'm sure you've talked about it, that's why I asked, you know, Marcel Reese was on Kay Adams' podcast.
Yeah.
He said there's a sneaky team no one's talking about, and then she said, does it rhyme with Schmills? She did the old Jeremy thing. She said, does it rhyme with Schmills? And he kind of he said, yeah. So he laughed, and it certainly was, and it certainly did. I also don't know, do you guys aware of Marcel Reese? He's not just a former player. Look up Marcel Reese the last few years, up until 2022. He was in the Raiders front office as the chief executive of staff and to the owner / president.
Mark Davis. Senior vice president / chief of staff.
Uh-huh.
They had a chief of
staff. What was he right before that?
Senior advisor to the owner / president. Yep.
And he said, I'm probably closer to the situation than I should be. And when I see that, and then I look up his title, and I'm like, okay, like, he's got some intel here, obviously, in whatever capacity. So I do believe it. I believe that, you know, that's a possibility. And why wouldn't it be, you know, if the Bills are looking to, as, you know, Mo put it, like, look at their offense and say, okay, we have to do something. Look, this comes down to me. We all know what the Bills' mantra has been. Everybody eats. And we all know they got rid of a 30-year-old wide receiver who was commanding a lot of money and a lot of targets, and whatever, you know, how that manifested itself just wasn't great for everybody. You know, in the end, it was deemed that it was better that they just kind of parted ways. And I think that this would go totally counterproductive to everything that they've wanted to be. However, as we've talked about before, situations and circumstances can change your thinking. And over the last couple of weeks, it's very possible Brandon Bean looks and goes, hey, everybody eats, and not having a guy like Stephon Diggs or Davante Adams and what we could do just with everybody being involved sounds really great. But man, like, we need some help, and we are in this thing. Like, this is a division for us to win, and you still have a really good look at home games in the playoffs and a one seed or whatever, how far you want to go with that. I do think it's possible that the Bills look and say, well, we need to strike, and if we can do that. He also said, by the way, Marcel Reese, interestingly, he said when she asked, you expecting something in days or weeks, he said weeks. Okay,
yeah.
That's because, to me, teams are waiting for this price to go down, right? A, for the compensation, but B, it goes down $1 million a week, essentially, for what you'd have to pay the guy. Now, the Bills still are not going to, even in a few weeks when the trade deadline happens, guys, in like 4 or 5 weeks, the Bills still wouldn't have enough cap space. But it would be much easier, or at least workable, maybe, to get something done when the guy is owed in only, what, $8 million versus $12 million. And maybe the Raiders then would say, okay, we'll eat a little bit of this. We'll change the structure of the contract. Maybe there's some creative financing. I just think that there's a lot here that can still happen, and the Bills should not be discounted based on all of the kind of smoke that we're hearing and seeing.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out, like, who they could restructure to save the space.
Nobody really.
Yeah. Nobody. There's not a lot. It's like 1.5 on Ed Oliver and 1.1 on Deion, like 1.7 on Dawson Knox with restructuring.
That's what they still could do?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they have right now, Sal, but, like, maybe we don't know off the top of our heads, like, how much they would have to create. Like, if they did create just that, like, the $4.5 million, would that be enough with $8 million to Adams? Because, really, the other thing, someone asked us about, like, you send them somebody back to kind of offset the salary, and you look at the Bills, like, who you could trade to do that with, and there's really nobody. Like, you could do it with Tyler Bass. You save money on a trade by trading him, but what? The Raiders are going to pay a second kicker as part of the trade? Like, I just don't see how that happens.
No, I don't. I think it's getting a little bit too far down, right,
yeah,
for something like that. But, yeah, look, guys, at the end of the day, I just think it could be just too challenging, to be quite honest with you. Like, it's going to be really tough. But it seems like the Bills are involved here. Who are the teams? The Saints, the Jets, the Bills, and the Ravens, I think, were the ones that were reported by...
The latest one from Tashaun Reed, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic, was the Steelers, that the Commanders and Ravens and Chiefs are out.
Okay.
The Steelers were the fourth.
Steelers.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, the Steelers always seem like they're in the mix for something like this.
They were
in the Brandon Ayuk. They were in the Brandon Ayuk situation.
They were there.
Right?
So, and I read yesterday, Jerry Dulac, who covers them, about Roman Wilson getting on the field and that it's not happening anytime soon. They drafted him in the third round.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So,
isn't it right to think, though, Sal, that like we could try to figure it out and not know how it would happen? But if the Bills are not ruled out for this by anybody and that they are even monitoring or inquiring about it, then Bean must know of some way to make it work financially.
Yeah, I mean, right. You're not going to, like, I think you stay on it long enough where you think that maybe it's to this point where at least you could make it work, right? But you're right, Joe. I mean, like, there's no, you're not, if that's the case and no one's come out and said it's just not happening, then yeah, I mean, I do remember Brandon Bean in the offseason making a point like, yeah, trade like a trade for whoever he used at the time. Like, this is not happening. We can't do something like that.
Yeah.
And now we're here and we haven't heard that, but we also haven't heard from the GM, right? Maybe he's back there going, maybe he's listening right now laughing at all of us, right?
And like, well, he also once said,
I can't do that.
He also once said they don't have money for free agents and then signed Von Miller.
So, that's right. That's
we can't trust him on those things.
So I just think that it's something to monitor. But as I've maintained all along here, it's not something the Bills would jump at right away because they can't financially, and it's just not something they're not reactionary like that generally. They let it play out and they see where it goes and figure it out. But I think Monday night could say a lot too. Like, what if they go out there Monday night and like, oh yeah, we had one bad game, but look at now, all of a sudden Keon Coleman had a bunch of yards and you know we got Dalton Kincaid back involved and maybe it just makes them feel different. Or you could have another game like you did the last couple of weeks and be like, man, we got to do something here.
Yeah. Thank you, Sal. Extra Point Show coming up today. Sean McDermott today, given it's a Monday schedule.
So everybody knows McDermott today is scheduled for 10:15 a.m.
Okay.
They are not. There's no media practice today, and we will not get the official injury designation for the game. So normally on a Friday, he'll say, here's who's I'm declaring out. But he will at least give me an indication on, you know, what the practice report will be looking like today. And I'll ask him, obviously, about a couple of the guys like James Cook, like Khalil Shakir, where they are right now and trending for the week. So we'll get that, and that'll be at 10:15 a.m. today. We'll talk with Paul at 11. And then I know some people going to New York this weekend. Joe, you going, right?
Yes,
going
sir.
To New York?
Not going to the Yankee game, but I'm going to New York, yes.
Well, you know what? You could decide to go to the Yankee game on Monday night instead of the Bills-Jets game if you want, because they're playing game one on Monday night at the same time.
There you go.
I don't know if you saw that or not, but that's when it is.
Wow.
But anyway, we'll have Pat Hammer with your weather outlook at 11:30 today.
Are Jets fans Yankee fans?
Usually goes Jets, Mets,
okay,
Islanders, the Island, because growing up, Shea Stadium, you know, and the so that, it's not always, but it's usually Jets, Mets, Islanders, Yankees, Giants, Rangers.
Okay, so they wouldn't be as upset. Jets fans aren't going to be as upset that they're missing one of the games. Maybe some of them.
I'm sure there's a lot of Yankees fans that are Jets fans, but that's correct. That there are. Okay. I'm going to be looking at the scoreboard while I'm down there in the sidelines, pal.
Will the Mets play that day? I mean, game one is game two
4 o'clock
on the road.
Yeah, game two is Monday. There you go.
4 o'clock they play.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio is part of Football Friday. We'll get to Chris Brown on the other side as we keep taking you toward Monday Night Football. And we'll be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Bills play-by-play man Chris Brown next.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hard-working men and women.
Birdie dancing, wide open, making the grab. Samuel, the tackle is missed. Debo off to the end zone. Touchdown 49ers, 76 yards.
Thursday Night Football starting the week, and it's the Niners getting a win. The Bills will play both those teams later in the year. San Francisco comes here. The Bills go to Seattle in a couple of weeks. Joining us on the Wester Hotline, voice of the Buffalo Bills, play-by-play man Chris Brown, joining us ahead of Monday Night Football. Chris, good morning. Jeremy and Joe. We get another Sunday to sit back and kind of take it all in before the spotlight shines on the Bills.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a big one, guys, as far as early season matchups go. So it's going to be interesting to see how – I mean, you're expecting a pretty lively atmosphere down there. You know, Jets fans are hopeful now that they kind of got what they wanted, at least on the offensive side of the ball with, you know, Todd Downing taking over as the new offensive play caller, the quarterback's coach. That's what Jets fans have been pining for pretty much since Hackett's been there. And so Nathaniel Hackett takes the back seat on the offensive side of the ball, so they're expecting big changes and much better production on the offense for the Jets going into this one.
Yeah, Chris, both these teams need their quarterbacks to look a little bit better here. And, you know, the Bills' passing game last week, it's not all on Josh Allen. It's guys not winning matchups. Maybe it's play calling. It's a storm of things. The thing that gives me confidence in this game is I just – even though the Bills' offense might have a bunch of injuries, I have more faith in Allen right now than I do in Aaron Rodgers, who does not look the part that he's looked in through most of his career. But both these guys do need to find answers to what's been going on with their offense.
Yeah, that's right. And really, the problem for the Jets, which I think runs a little bit deeper, is the fact that they haven't been able to get their running game on track, last in the league in rushing, which kind of stupefies me a little bit with the talent they have in their backfield, not only with Breece Hall, but his backup, Braylon Allen, who looks like he's going to be a player in this league as well. And I'm expecting Todd Downing to pound the run early in an effort to try to take some of the burden off of Rodgers, knowing he's not as effective an off-script playmaker as he was when he was younger, not to mention the fact that he comes in a little nicked up with knee and ankle injuries, respectively, limited in practice this week. So I think it's going to be incumbent upon the Jets to get the run game going just to kind of balance them out a little bit offensively and take the burden off of Rodgers.
And what's been interesting is Breece Hall's had such a down year, Chris. Like, he's got big runs even against the Bills last year, but he kind of has been outplayed by the rookie Braylon Allen. I don't know if they'll go to Allen as like the starter, but Hall has not really struck a lot of fear into anybody yet this season.
Right, and that's been mentioned to the Bills players this week, and Terrell Bernard was saying the other day, all I know is he ripped off 127 on us, so I'm taking him pretty seriously. So they're not buying into that at all. And I think they are a capable running team. For whatever reason, their offensive line has kind of let them down. They're not getting to the second level effectively. And I'm encouraged that the Bills front can slow them down because they have good edge setters and Smoot and Rousseau and Epinesa, and they have fast athletic linebackers, which is what you need against these two 220-pound backs. So I'm hoping that the gap integrity is good. I thought it was good for the most part last week. Got to hope that gets even better this week against two guys that are eminently more talented than the backups they were facing last week with the Texans.
We see it almost every year. You know, the Bills' defense suffers injuries, and different guys can come in and shine and show what they've got. And Dorian Williams might be the guy for this, a tackling machine. And, you know, for a matchup against a Jets team that's probably going to try and commit to the run, sure, the Bills got taken for a lot of yards against Baltimore, but I just don't know if any other team's going to be able to do it to the Bills the way that Baltimore did that day.
Yeah, you would hope, right? I do find it interesting that, you know, you got two big body backs with speed in the Jets, you know, Allen and Hall. And are they as close to Henry as you're going to see in a while? Maybe. I don't know that the Jets are as an effective and buttoned up blocking unit as the Ravens are, so you're encouraged by that. And just to talk about Dorian Williams a little bit, you know, I think he's a guy that has effectively set a physical tone for this team on defense each and every week. This guy is, you know, smacking the teeth out of people. And I got to believe it gives a charge to the other guys on that side of the ball. And, you know, if they can get Taron Johnson back, that's another valuable piece you've added back to the second level of your defense. So now you've got Bernard, Williams, and Johnson, and I think you feel a whole lot better about the operation as a whole.
Operations offensively for the Bills, whether it's 12 personnel, Dawson Knox getting reinvolved, it feels like with all the injuries, I mean, maybe no James Cook, maybe no Khalil Shakir, Allen's going to have to find guys. You know, everybody has taken a couple of hits the last 2 weeks, but this is a spot where they're going to have to find guys down the depth chart that will get gains for them, however they do it. Maybe that means more run for Keon Coleman. Maybe it means somebody that, you know, is an unlikely hero, but Josh is going to have to find somebody to work for.
That's right, and I think it's going to be incumbent upon Joe Brady to try to find ways to facilitate separation early in the down, because I think we can all agree that based on what the Bills have done against the blitz the last 2 weeks has probably opened some eyes across the league amongst defensive coordinators. Blitzing, Josh, used to be suicide, but now, because separation has been a problem for the receiving core and because Josh has not taken some of the easy throws the last 2 weeks, he looks seemingly ineffective against the blitz. I think he's 5 for his last 16 for 34 yards, and he's been sacked 4 times, and he has 1 touchdown. I mean, those are eye-opening numbers. And so I'm expecting the Jets to be aggressive. Now, they don't have to blitz a whole lot. I mean, they're 4th in the league in sacks, and they don't blitz a whole lot. And Will McDonald leads the AFC in sacks with 6 coming off the edge for them. So I am expecting them to turn up the heat on Josh and challenge this offense to make plays in the face of blitz pressure. Interestingly enough, the Jets offense has had just as much problem against the blitz. I mean, Minnesota blitzed the hell out of Rodgers last week, to the tune of 3 interceptions, including a pick 6. So I'm very curious to see what the defensive approaches are to try to slow these offenses down.
Do you think we're going to end up with a low-scoring game with all this being said? Because it does feel like the defense might have an advantage over the offense, maybe even on both sides of the football.
I wouldn't rule it out. You know, all you need are a couple of defensive penalties. And I actually mentioned this in my 6 things to watch for this week on BuffaloBills.com, because the Jets have adopted Baltimore's approach defensively, which is basically clutch and grab on every single play and dare the officials to throw flags. Now, to the officials' credit, last week between the Jets and Minnesota, they did throw flags. They've been called for the 2nd most defensive penalties in the league, the Jets have. And they rank 3rd in most defensive passing penalty yards and 4th in defensive pass interference penalties. They've got 5 already. They got flagged 6 times on defense. DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner, both getting rung up for like 2 or 3 penalties each. And the good news, guys, is Adrian Hill is the officiating crew. Adrian Hill's crew on Monday night, and his officiating crew has thrown the 3rd most flags so far this season.
Yeah, Jefferson in that London game was all first half, like, these guys are just grabbing me on every play. So we saw that happen in London. It's even if this game is an ugly win, Chris, like, the opportunity here for the Bills, it already kind of feels like this. But man, if you can go up 2 games in the division and win the head-to-head in their building, I mean, we'll talk about receivers and we'll talk about like holes that they might still have, but man, the division is going to feel over, I think, if they win this game on Monday.
Yeah, you'd like to feel like you can gut this one out. I just caution everybody, the Jets are the number 2 defense in football, and the first meeting down there is seemingly a slog every single time. They make you earn every single yard. They've consistently held the Bills below their point total, average point total in that building. So it never seems to be easy against that Jets defense, especially in the first meeting every season. And, you know, you have to throw in the fact that it might be a little harder for Buffalo's defense, knowing you've got a brand new play caller calling this thing in Todd Downing this week.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, thanks. We'll chat Tuesday after the game.
All right, take care, guys.
Yeah, have a good weekend. Jeremy and Joe with you. It is Football Friday, and our appearance, our chat with Chris Brown, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. When we return, a very fast, fun game, as I ask Joe and Josh, who has been described as, quote, I'm reading social media. I've never seen such vitriolic hatred toward a guy. Who is getting more vitriolic hatred than anyone in the history of social media or the world? According to Michael Kay. That's up next. Jeremy and Joe, all right, here's the game. On the Michael Kay Show yesterday, ESPN New York host said, I'm reading social media. I've never seen such vitriolic hatred toward a guy. And then he said, and I'm not being hyperbolic. Mm-hmm. Who has Michael Kay not seen get more vitriolic hatred than this guy? Who is it?
So my obvious guess is going to be Aaron Rodgers here.
Okay, it's not Aaron Rodgers.
It's not Aaron Rodgers. Michael Kay implies that it's in the New York area.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Is it Joe Buck?
That's a closer guess.
Oh, it's Bob Costas.
Correct.
It's Bob, okay, it's yeah, Bob yeah, Costas.
Because yeah. Bob Costas is getting roasted online.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been terrible.
For play-by-play.
He's Al Michaels. He sounds bored.
The difference is Al Michaels is a legendary play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Bob Costas is not. Bob Costas right. is legendary for a lot of things. He was never really a legend for play-by-play.
Did he ever do? When did he ever do? Did he do play-by-play?
Yes, he did. I think he did the NBA. He's done play-by-play. I don't think it's ever been the thing he's been best at.
Because for me, he's on the NBC desk doing some soliloquy about whatever.
That's the thing. Whenever he's in the chair, he can't not lecture people.
Yeah,
he can't not feel like he needs to. Take you on a tour of the history of, I mean, yesterday I heard Chris Russo, Mad Dog, refer to the Royals game as a George Brett documentary.
I saw that, like, yeah.
So
just trying to find ways to talk about the
so,
Royals.
Yeah, so Costas getting play-by-play is, the younger generation is seeing him in these spots and saying, like, what is this guy talking about? Yeah. What is he doing out there?
Yeah.
So.
Well, he was the anti-fun guy for everything, wasn't he?
Everything, yes. He didn't want the wild card in baseball.
Yep.
You know, there's
players celebrating.
There's an old clip when Stevie Johnson got flagged for that pretending to shoot himself in the leg thing.
Yes.
Like Costas went on Sunday Night Football that night and spoke for like 5 minutes on the problem with guys like this. And it did not age well.
Right.
At all. Granted, Stevie got a penalty, but man, listening back, it does not age well.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Those are fun little games.
Never been my guy. Never been a big Bob Costas fan.
I went to see him speak when I was at Syracuse. He came maybe my freshman year, and he like went into Hendricks Chapel, and Bob Costas kind of went up there and answered questions, Q&A stuff.
It's kind of amazing he lets people call him Bob for how, you know, high and tidy he is. Like, Robert? He's not Robert Costas?
I don't know.
Middle name. Oh, man, such... What a middle name. It just perfectly exemplifies Bob Costas is as a broadcaster.
Hold on. I think Michael Kay might be right. You are drifting drifting into vitriolic hatred.
I mean, he really carries himself like someone whose middle name is Quinlan.
Okay. Quinlan?
Come on. Robert Quinlan Costas.
What's wrong with that?
Quinlan. What are we in with the 1600s Dutch East Company? Like what are we doing?
I don't know.
I'm just not a Bob Costas guy. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm leaning into it. I'm part of Michael Kay's. I don't like Bob Costas. I never have liked Bob Costas.
I think the new generation doesn't like his style.
Yeah.
I don't think he's particularly strong on play-by-play. You know, the other stuff's fine.
What is his perfect role is what? Is it studio?
It's Olympics studio host.
Okay.
Right?
Well, because I do always think of him as baseball.
Pretty sure he was...
But...
I'm pretty sure he did like Jordan era... NBA play-by-play.
I think I've seen clips of him on the Knicks-Rockets broadcast from the OJ chase. So he must be on right. NBA coverage like during the mid-90s.
Is he on the call of Jordan hitting the shot over Byron Russell?
On the call of it?
I'm saying,
doing play-by-play.
I'm saying NBA play-by-play.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch that clip. Was he ever someone that was like really like energetic, though, as a play-by-play guy? You know?
No, it's more he's hosting a game.
Okay.
Yeah. 803-0550 to join us. SCAF, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy, is next. Lots of matchups that are interesting this week. Lots of storylines. We'll get those to you. You can also right now be caller number 5 to win our pair of tickets to the Shorzy Fall Classic at KeyBank Center November 13th. The cast of the TV show Shorzy competes against Buffalo Sabres alumni. Tickets courtesy of AEG Presents Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.